Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
My nap is over, John.
And now we're getting ready for some exciting conversation, and that's going to be with Kate Beckman and Clyde Locke. And both of these guys are with the Port Washington Play Troupe, and they've been doing so many different performances. I'm going to turn it right over to Kate to start.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Lead the
way.
Thank
you very much. Good morning. Well, I guess first and foremost, Clyde and I are both involved in a radio drama broadcast this weekend, broadcast here at WCWP, of All About Eve. And it's going to be this Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And actually, you can come and sit in the Hillwood Commons Recital Hall and watch us do the radio broadcast. So you can see the old-time radio broadcast with the Foley artist, who is your sound effects guy, gentleman.
Okay.
And we're doing...
That's what's the Foley artist.
Foley
artist,
yes. Okay. It was the gentleman's name. And so, for instance, what you hear on radio, if someone comes in, you hear the door open and close. He has a little model of a door, and he takes care of that on mic.
Okay.
So he does all the different sound effects if someone's stirring a cup of tea or...
So the actress and actor do nothing.
Right.
When it's come time, I'd like a cup of coffee, he's going to be...
He does the cup of coffee. So this Sunday afternoon, we're doing All About Eve, and Clyde and I are both in the company. And then in June, on June 14th, I'll be directing the next radio drama broadcast, which is The African Queen.
Okay. Those are the last two of this season, so to speak.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, Clyde, are you going to be in The African Queen also?
I have a couple of parts on that one. The interesting about that Foley name is that it was indeed named after a gentleman who was a pioneer in the sound effects. And so the Foley qualification has been applied to sound effects using his moniker.
Wow,
so
okay.
It's just a little bit of history.
I think it would be such a unique thing for people to see. Every now and then you see a little piece on TV, you know, of them doing a show where they try to reproduce it for a minute or two as part of the total movie. But to actually see a production, it's intriguing.
Well, this is rather neat because we're on stage as an ensemble company with single microphone. So there's a lot of moving about in terms of how we approach the script and the interaction between the actors.
Let me just go back. Single microphone.
Single microphone.
That's just one. So then you got to pass it to Kate, and then
microphone.
Kate's going to pass it to...
Well, we'll stand around
the
microphone.
Around it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw the picture, and then they have their standing script in front of them.
Multi-directional mic.
Right.
That can accommodate three or four people because it takes sound both from the single direction up front and the sides.
Okay.
It's limited. There's no easy reception from the back.
Okay.
Will that actually be on the radio at that time as well, live, or is that recorded and played another time?
I think what Dan Cox, who actually had approached our producer, Pam Meadows, about bringing back this golden age of radio, I believe what Dan, who's here with WCWP, he's the station manager and director of broadcasting, I believe they're going to record it and then stream it at a later date.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the first three productions last spring were done on broadcasted live.
Okay.
And then also recorded for posterity. And then the situation changed with the fall series. It was Dan actually that requested that the series be done 3 in 3 months, which was a real push for the average acting group. Pam Meadows, who was our director, took on the obligation with vim and vigor and managed to carry it off. We were very happy with the first three productions, so that and that is primarily because we have actors and singers with huge experience like Kate and many others in the group. They're professionals. They are. It's thrilling to be working with talented people like this.
It's amazing to me. Like I go to, I guess I can mention the Broad Hollow Theater over in Elmont.
Okay.
It's amazing to me.
Come on.
I can't mention that. Oh, I'm
no
sorry. It's amazing to me how many talented people there are that just do this almost like a hobby. You know, like in your case, Kate, I happen to look up a lot about you online, and you have
all about Kate.
All about Kate. You have a very long track record with lots of experience. Have you, you know, like, is this your choosing, or have you, what makes people decide to kind of go to a Broad Hollow environment or a community kind of environment as opposed to trying to shoot further out than that? You know where I'm going? Almost like a hobby for a lot of people.
Once it's in your blood,
you can't get it out.
You can't get it out. Right. I mean, I'm also an educator, and I've taught a lot of students as an acting teacher. And I remember one young man, he was actually videotaping monologues that my class was doing, and he saw that, and that was the end of it. He was bitten, and he took acting classes and went on and did it and went on to a career in New York. There's this, many are called, few are chosen. Mm-hmm. Some people, here on Long Island, we have an incredible wealth of the performing arts. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily have to travel into New York City. You can get a lot of that right here in your backyard, both professional and a very, very fine community amateur.
Right.
You know, presentations. And I think also for some people, because it like I said, many are called, few are chosen. It's hard to make a living in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, that's great. It's fabulous. But I think for people that have that interest, they can have their day job and they can also give to the arts.
Right.
And I think that's part of it also.
And in that respect, actually, you're working twice as hard.
Yes.
Because you have your day job in order to support yourself,
mm-hmm.
but then that's true dedication, because then at night and on the weekends, you're sacrificing all this, whereas somebody who's doing a show on Broadway, say, they're doing their show. I don't mean they're relaxing, but they have their downtime. You have less downtime.
Yeah.
I have a question. I know now Kate's going to be directing The African Queen.
Yes.
Now, you know, I was in plays when I was in high school, and you know, the director is jump off the stage, do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What is the directing like when you're talking about really a circle of people around a microphone, just reading? And I don't mean just reading, and that's probably where you got to come into it. That's what I don't understand.
Well, that's very interesting, because the one thing you want to be careful about is that you are not just reading.
Okay.
And you don't have the visual to fall back on. So that's radio. And the same thing if you're a recording artist, it's all an audible medium.
Right,
so
right.
It's very important for me as a director, and what I'll be working with my company on, one of the things I've asked them is, when you work on your script, make sense of the words. Because we have the words there, so we know what to say. But for instance,
right, right.
in our conversation here,
mm-hmm.
we have to listen to one another, we get an idea, feedback, and then we respond. We don't have a script this morning. Actors do. So they have to make special attention to paying attention to what's there and really getting into, and we do this for the stage also, but get into the character's head.
Okay.
You have to remember that the radio production requires that the microphone is your audience.
I agree.
You have no other means of conveying emotion other than to make it through your voice. And without that, you're really limited. So we've learned, I have, the putting more into the speech pattern and the real acting part has to be delivered strictly vocally, and you know, thanks to an incredible direction that we've had, we've been very, very pleased about the productions that we've had in the past.
No, I could see it, because, like, you know, on TV, if, you know, whoever's going to be the evil person, they're in black. The good guy's in white. So even if they're almost illiterate, you still know that's the good guy.
Yeah.
John, you have
on the
to
radio,
stop,
you
stop
really...
watching those cowboys.
On the radio, you really have to put it across. So that's why I'm saying it's interesting from a director that you got to make sure everybody is putting across vocally what I should be feeling by just listening to it.
Well, I grew up in the era of radio. You know, we didn't have a television until I was about 14 years old. So I would listen to all kinds of stuff, you know, like
right.
existed back in those
okay.
days.
I think that's what got Dan
and,
involved.
And it actually,
right?
it actually came live to you. You know, it
yeah.
wasn't like I'm thinking about The African Queen.
Yeah.
That was a pretty complicated movie. And it had all kinds of stuff going on in it. That wasn't
well. Remember that,
in
that, that that these yes. These shows that we're putting on are from the Lux Radio Theater contractions of those movies. And fortunately, those scripts were made to celebrate those great movies of the past, the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And that's part of the joy of this thing, is that, you know, we can try to sound like Cary Grant if we really want to.
Yeah,
but
right.
We try to avoid that.
Right.
On the other hand, you know, if we're doing Sidney Greenstreet, all right, in Humphrey against Humphrey Bogart and the Maltese Falcon, it might come out a bit more like that, Mr. Spade. Where is that blackbird? But in other words, there's a need for putting some vocal changes. You may want to sort of imitate the original actors. By and large, it's not necessary. The beauty part of this is that the actors that we have are fully capable of delivering a performance that doesn't necessarily have to reflect the actors of the past, even though we have great memories.
Right, of course, yeah. Does one actor, since it's on radio, play two parts?
Sometimes
like one male?
More.
Okay. Oh, really?
Sometimes more, yes.
Yeah.
But when you just change your voice twice, I'm saying, wait
well,
a minute.
Well, I tell you, in the part we had in the Maltese Falcon, there was a requirement for Lieutenant Dundee, who was trying to pin everything on Sam Spade. You know, we think that you did it, Spade.
Right, right, right.
And then on the other hand, we have to shift, again, voices for Gutman, the part that I just tried to portray.
Okay, okay.
Sidney Greenstreet. So there's a need for vocal change. And some adaptation.
As a director, then you got to feel this. So you're saying, this is not coming across, Clyde.
She's good.
Okay, okay. No, because you're sitting there with your eyes closed, basically, saying, I didn't feel a sense.
Definitely.
A shift,
And actually, when you go to cast for a radio broadcast, you don't need to look at the physical aspects.
Because
we're not going to see that. So if you actually see what a person looks like, it might not be what you think. I mean, they had me reading at one point for auditions for Tootie, who's a 12-year-old.
Okay.
So it's if you saw the people, well, it's an assignment that I give to my speech students to show that how we speak will impact the image people have. So I say, overhear a conversation, get an image of the person, then turn around and look at them.
Mm. That's interesting.
Does it match or not?
Right. We're going to take a break. This is tremendously interesting. You're listening to Project Independence and You on 88.1. We'll be right back with Kate and Clyde.